Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? We appreciate you joining us for another episode of InsideCarolina.com's The 40 Club. You probably recognize me, Joey Powell, one half of the amazing host duo that brings you this show every week. But the other one, the guy that's actually carrying the water, Tommy Ashley. Thomas, how are you, sir?
I'm well, Joey. It's been a heck of a week, but this should be a fun show to knock out. It, a little different than the old former player deal, but it's certainly still very relevant to our listeners. And look, it's almost the hottest thing going east of Chapel Hill these days.
Absolutely.
So this will be a fun one.
I think that's fair. I hadn't thought about that, but that's absolutely a good point on your part. I'm glad you're here. That's why they pay you the big bucks. Tommy Ashley, I'm Joey Powell. We're going to bring you another episode of the 40 Club. Want to give a special shout out to Johnny T-Shirt for sponsoring this show. You guys by now know the drill. Take some time to rate, review, subscribe if you have not already. We certainly appreciate you being here. For those of you who are listening, if you're watching on YouTube, you know, make sure you subscribe to Inside Carolina there, get all the content. We put all these podcasts up on YouTube as well. I know they've got some cool new stuff going on the Beat every week. Tommy and Gregory Hall are doing that live, which has turned into a really cool expose. So make sure you guys are checking that out. But for this episode, like Tommy said, we've got a little wrinkle here. He is a Carolina guy through and through, but now he's a different Carolina guy. And he is the vice president of communications or PR director or head of team services, depending on what day of the week and what hat you catch him in. But he's from the Carolina Hurricanes. Mike Sunheim. Mike, how are you, man?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you being here. You were our first hockey crossover guest that we've had. But again, you graduated from Carolina. I think you were a year ahead of me, class of 2000. And you have been with the Hurricanes, I think, since Moses wore short pants, right? Like what year are you entering now?
Well, I think we're back to wearing short pants, right?
It's been that long. Yes. Everything comes back.
Everything comes back around. But yeah, I started interning for the Hurricanes, 1999, during my junior year at Carolina.
Were they still in Greensboro then?
Yep. So that was the second year in Greensboro, and then came with them to Raleigh in the next year. And then the following year, I was full time right after graduating in 2000. I started with the Canes in July 2000. So I am 21 years in at this point.
Man, and as most of our listeners are probably a fan of just sports in general, I'm sure, and we're going to get into some of the specifics of your job, easy for me to say, in just a little bit. But I mean, 20 plus years at the same franchise, man, a hat tip to you for that, because that's not something you see in any gig, especially in pro sports. So you got to be good at what you're doing. Graduated from the J school. Tell us about your time at Carolina. I know you and I were there at about the same window and saw Mac leave the first time, saw Dean retire, and was not a great window for sports success. What do you remember most about your time as a Tar Heel fan when you were in Chapel Hill?
Yeah, the funny thing is I kind of see it the opposite. Like, we didn't necessarily win the championships in the two big sports, but it was a pretty good time. Like, when I first got to Carolina, you know, I grew up in Jersey. You know, I wanted to, you know, I really was interested in going to an ACC school. Very much, you know, nothing bad about Jersey, but I was ready to experience a different place. I'd been there my whole life. You know, I kind of got into watching the ACC, you know, through the mid to late 90s. And yeah, you know, getting to Carolina, I honestly didn't know anything about Carolina football before I got there. And I'll go to my first football game and we're playing Clemson. I don't know anything about this. And then we went, I think it was 41-0 that day.
Yeah, it was a beatdown.
Second to last year, I was like, whoa. Maybe we got a little something here. Maybe I'm getting a little bonus. I thought I was coming for the basketball, but maybe the football is something too. And then, you know, I did a little work with DTH back in the day. So I was actually one of the assistant sports editors of the Sports Saturday. It's a DTH hands out a game for one of those years.
We used to read those every time we were waiting for a kickoff at the stadium.
Yeah. I'm still friends with Evan Markfield, who I believe was the editor, or maybe he was another assistant sports editor of that at the time. He actually works with my wife at SAS now. So
old crazy, Evan, I know him. He covered Carolina for a long time.
Yeah. Good man. But yeah, I mean, I look back and, you know, the football team, we had some really, you know, those first 2 years were great before Mac left, at least. you know, just, you know, having some big time games. I mean, I remember going straight from a basketball camp out waiting for tickets to the stadium to wait outside to get let in for the Florida State game.
Florida State.
Yeah, straight from one to the other.
How about the weather for that one, huh? Do you remember the weather?
Cold that night.
Vaguely, it was a little chilly.
It was damp and gross, and we had not slept. And it was absolutely. But it was a perfect recipe for college undergraduate shenanigans, and I'll leave it at that.
No, I remember, like, when we were trying to get in, the crush to get in from outside, like, I was, the girl I was dating at the time was actually lifted up off the ground by the crush of the crowd and kind of carried into that, you know, student gate at Keenan Stadium. So it was just, you know, to me, that was pretty exciting. And in basketball, didn't win any championships. We went to 3 Final Fours in my 4 years. So I can't complain too much. And obviously very fond memories of that time watching the Heel.
First of all, Joey, can we have somebody older than me on this podcast at least once? I mean, y'all are talking about times. The years y'all are talking about, I was doing this for Inside
Look,
Carolina.
Look, man, I tried to get the big bopper and he was unavailable. So I'm
going to have to get like an 80-year-old guy on here. But I, you talk about that time at Carolina and you talk about your DTH time. Let me ask you about your time at the DTH, because quite frankly, they've caught a lot of grief a lot over the years, especially more recently. I think as a guy that worked for them and did it, you know, I was at Carolina from 89 to 93. It was a pretty good run. They won the national championship my senior year, and Mac was there. But what was it like being a student working for the DTH, covering the teams and all? And then looking back on that, what do you think about maybe how it's changed, if it's changed over the years?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's changed a little bit, because I think the biggest thing that changed since then is just some of the negative times, the bad times that Carolina's gone through in the years since then. And, you know, the DTH, even when I was there, you know, it's an independent publication. We kind of prided ourselves on trying to be independent, and the, you know, obviously, you know, at the end of the day, we're all Carolina fans, but we're also, you know, trying to cover the team in a fair way, but, you know, be critical where you need to be critical. And, you know, when I was there, I covered women's soccer, I covered men's soccer, I covered baseball when Brian Roberts was there, you know, had a chance to cover, you know, some of Mac Brown, you know, interviewed Bobby Bowden, you know, kind of looking back, like when you're a 19, 20 year old kid thinking about getting into journalism, like that's a dream. Like, well, what, you know, to be able to cover sports at that level, you know, at that point in your development as a professional, pretty special. So, you know, I really value my time there and made friendships that last to this day.
Yeah, it's interesting. And that sort of segues into my question about, you parlay that into this job with the Hurricanes, and I don't want to skip over the Carolina Tar Heel stuff because I want to hear more about that, but explain how that works, how you know, you work for the DTH, you do that, and you end up interning for the Carolina Hurricanes back in the early days of the Hurricanes, and it's kind of gone from there. What's that process? And I ask you that because Inside Carolina's had plenty of interns here, and these guys have gone on to be like some of the best in the business, whether it's ESPN or other outlets. Explain your path there, because I think it's fascinating to see how it's gone and how it started and then where it is today. I mean, it's really cool.
Well, you know, the thing was that after my sophomore year, I wanted to get an internship in sports writing more than anything else. Like I was looking for internships in sports writing. But at that point, you know, it was kind of hard to get one after my sophomore year. So I had a friend of a friend who had connections with an arena football team in New Jersey called the New Jersey Red Dogs. Named after the drink, Red Dog.
Which was a great cheap beer when we were all 20, right?
Yeah. Joe Morris was a team president. He was an old Giants running back who had been on their Super Bowl team. I loved Joe Morris as a player, so I was kind of in awe that I was working for this guy. But that was kind of my introduction to the PR side, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it enough that I cold called Chris Brown, who was the head of PR with the Hurricanes at the time, and I asked about internships, and that's how it all got started. So I started interning there, and then while I was interning there, I also, you know, once I was kind of making that shift to that world, you know, I also started working in an SID office for Steve Kirshner, to try to, you know, I wanted to see that side of it too. So, you know, it was a really a good time. You know, I still have a relationship with Steve, and I really respect him for as long as he's been in there doing that. So, it's been, you know, it was a really interesting time to like learn kind of both sides of it. And, you know, ultimately the Hurricanes felt like they were the place that I had a better chance to get a job right at the school. So I focused on that a little more, but it was cool to see both sides and how things were different. And honestly, how much is the same working in an SID office and working for a pro team.
So you're clearly a guy that understands about telling stories, because you segued nicely to exactly where I was going to go. I was going to liken your gig to Steve Kirshner for the UNC basketball office and Jeremy Sharp for UNC football. Tell our listeners and viewers what exactly it is your job is with the Hurricanes, because they see director of PR and, you know, and all the, I guess, mental conjurings that come with that. But there's a ton of other stuff that falls under, you know, under your purview within that office. So tell us, if you can, for lay people, pretend Tommy and I are actually as dumb as we look, and tell us what your job means.
This is the boring part of the podcast. So people might want to skip ahead a little bit here, but basically, so the PR part of my job is, you know, arranging all the media contact that happens between media, players, management, coaches, you know, arranging those accesses, making sure media has the right information, credentialing, you know, promoting the team in the media, pitching stories, you know, kind of all of that side of promoting, you know, promoting the team using, you know, back then traditional media, but now traditional and, you know, kind of new media, you know, getting the good word about the Hurricanes out, basically. You know, since then, my job has kind of evolved a little bit. I've taken on other roles in the team services side of it that I do. I actually do all of the, it's like more of a team operations. It's planes, buses, hotels, practice, ice, you know, kind of arranging, you know, all those little things, being kind of a go-to for the players for anything they need, from help getting their driver's license to help finding a realtor in town to getting a tee time. So, you know, it's kind of turned into a little bit of a jack of all trades situation, but I like doing both, because the PR side, you're always asking guys to do things they might not always want to do, go see the media, do this press conference. You know, when you're on the team services side, they're coming to me for help about things. So it's a little more give and take than what a traditional PR job would be. And I think it works well.
That's again, like it's just a flawless segue in the way you're kind of helping this tapestry continue to weave itself. So it sounds like you're basically just the guy that has a guy for everything, right? Like it's just when you mentioned driver's licenses there, I don't think fans, at least I would not have considered think about how big of a deal that is when you're, especially when you're drafting you're with an organization that that does draft players from overseas. You're bringing a guy over from, you know, say Eastern Europe, that now he lives in Raleigh and has to find somewhere to live. He's coming straight from wherever it was he's coming from, in Kiev or whatever. And he's got to find a place to live. He's got to, you know, get a car, get a driver's license. Like, it's, there's so much that comes with that. So it's kind of cool that you get to be the, I don't know, the savior, the point man that kind of makes all that happen for these big time prospects.
Yeah. I mean, they have agents too, obviously the agents help, but when it comes to things that are in North Carolina and, you know, taking, like, think about how hard that is. Like, you go to the driver's office, you know, if you're a Czech kid, you're 19 years old and you need to take the driver's test, and you're taking it in English. And there could be some tricky questions on the driver's test. It's not like, you know, they've got three or four languages you can take it in. There's no Czech language North Carolina driver's test.
there's not a lot of Slavic interpreters there at the DMV.
There's no Finnish. There's no Swedish. Like, those guys are there's no Russian. So, you know, whatever pressure they're feeling trying to take a driver's test, you know, they're also trying to do it in a second language that they're really just starting to get used to. So.
Yeah, that's a great point. There's no Russian at the DMV, whether you're in a hurry or trying to speak. See what I did there?
Exactly. Yeah. Corn. I got a guy though. We can make appointments.
you probably couldn't sell appointments at the DMV these days, especially.
Yeah.
Let me ask you the question that I've been wanting to ask you is, who runs the Twitter account?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's really under the purvey of marketing. In the very early days when we were still kind of figuring out Facebook and you had to have a .edu to log in, and when Twitter first started, like way back then, we were a little more involved in the PR side, but you know, it's fully shifted to marketing, and you know, they've got a team of people at this point. Dan LaDaraca is our head of social and new media on that side, and he does a great job. You know, I think it's a balance between trying to have fun and putting information out and trying to sell and everything else. But I think they do a really good job, especially on the fun side of, you know, taking some chances here and there, and some things hit and some things don't, but for the most part, they're pretty good at making them hit, and they have a pretty good reputation in that world.
Yeah. They're pretty epic social media there. Yeah. They've got it. A lot of teams could take certainly lessons from, I mean, that Twitter account is just 100% fire. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. Let me ask you the another probably a softball question is, how much does winning make a difference for a professional team? You've been around a long time. They've won a lot.
Both.
And they've been terrible at times. I mean, what's the difference?
Well, look, we went 10 years without making the playoffs. And everyone would, you know, look at us and look at our crowds and say, you know, that team looks like they need to move. Nobody cares about them there. Well, pretty much there aren't a whole lot of pro sports teams that are packing the house when you've gone 10 years missing the playoffs. And I kind of look back, you know, in the kind of mid 2000s going to games in Chicago, the Blackhawks, you know, now, you know, when they got good, it was 21,000 every night, and it's incredible. But when they were bad, playing in a 21,000 seat United Center, that place is cavernous when there's only 4,000 or 5,000 people in there. And we were absolutely there with 4,000 or 5,000 people. So, you know, that's an Original Six franchise. That's a historic franchise that when they got good, it was pretty good. But when they were bad, they're the same as everyone else. So, you know, short of being the Chicago Cubs or the Toronto Maple Leafs, there aren't a whole lot of professional sports franchises that can go a real long time of missing the playoffs and still maintain, you know, people willing to pay the prices you have to pay to go to a professional sports event.
I know it's not really your area, but you've been connected for so long. How big's the gap between being good and being bad in pro sports? I mean, I don't think people understand how it works, you know, and what that line is. What is it?
You know, I think, you know, a lot nowadays, you know, I think one of the big differences for us has just been having an owner willing to spend to the cap. And if you're in a salary cap sport and you're not spending to the salary cap, you're going to have some problems. Like, you're at a pretty big competitive disadvantage. So, you know, Tom Dundon bought the team, you know, that's a huge priority for him. Is, you know, he doesn't want to, you know, he can't stand watching us lose. So he was going to spend the money on the players to make sure that we were given a chance. But I mean, a lot else goes into it, the drafting, the coaching, having the right people and, you know, then the chemistry. But, things really started coming together for us after he bought the team, started spending a little more money. We got a little lucky in the draft lottery and got Andrei Svechnikov. And things started to roll a little bit. But I mean, now I think we've gone from a team that, you know, we're just desperate to make the playoffs to a team that expects to make the playoffs every year. Now the goal is to win it all. That's what we want. We're not worried about making the playoffs. We're worried about winning the Stanley Cup. And that's got a lot to do and a whole lot to do with Rod Brindamore, our head coach, who, he came in, I wish we had it on tape, the speech he gave to our guys the first year he was head coach. Because when he came into the team meeting the day, the first day of training camp, everyone goes for their medicals in the morning. They have, fitness testing in the afternoon, and you have a team meeting. The coach kind of establishes, all right, this is what we're going to be all about. And, you know, he gave the speech about raising the bar. And, like, we've been putting the bar down here. The bar needs to be up here. There's only one bar in this sport, and that's the Stanley Cup. Like, that's the bar we're going for. So we're not trying to go down here. We're trying to go up here, and it's unbelievable. But I mean, I think that's what our team's taken on since he took over, and we've been in the mix all three of those years, going to the conference final in the second round the other 2 years. So I think we feel like we're close, and hopefully we can get over the top of that bar.
So one of the things that I love that the Canes have done really, really well is, you went to school in this area, so you get how unique it is in being a college sports market. And the Canes have done a great job. And I know there's been a lot of people behind the scenes that put a lot of work in to make this happen. But the Canes have done a great job kind of ingratiating themselves to the three, ACC school fan bases that are here. And I know that there are nights where they do college nights and you do special ticket promos and stuff like that. And you mentioned Brendan Moore, who I know is a fan of the school in West Raleigh, but specifically, right. Specifically, I want to ask, and I think this is great because you get a chance to know these guys on a very personal level. How do they, the ones that are sports fans off the ice, I realize not everybody is, but a lot of these guys, because of their competitive nature, are sports fans off the ice. All this is a long way to get to the question of how do you teach them about how unique this market is? Because let's keep using the example of a kid from the Czech Republic or wherever that comes over here and realizes, okay, there's one pro sports franchise around here. I play for them. What else do I do? And what else can I watch in my free time? How does that conversation happen? Give us some good stories of when guys have kind of realized that, holy crap, this really is kind of a really aggressive college sports market. Just talk about that crossover, because I think it's incredibly unique and the Canes have done a good job of speaking to that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, a lot of the players we've had, especially the Canadian American ones, they kind of knew ahead of time. And I think once you get in our locker room, there's a couple of us that are outspoken for one team. And honestly, that team is UNC. It's myself. It's Doug Bennett, our head trainer. Used to be Pace Sagister when he was around. But we're because we wear our heart on our sleeves a little bit about UNC, some of them choose to root for other schools. Just to have something. And when UNC, if UNC wins, it's real quiet. But if UNC loses a game that we expect to win, or a big basketball football game, we walk in the next day, they're waiting for us. they're waiting and they're ready. And we take a little bit, but I mean, it's been fun. Like a couple of years ago, we had a dad's trip. That's one of the really cool things that we do is, in normal times, at least we have, you know, a trip where we take all, 1 year we'll take all the moms on a trip with the team, and they'll get to come with their sons and see how everything works, be on the plane, and 1 year we'll take dads. One of the dads' trips was the day of a Duke Carolina game. So we were at a little beachside establishment in Fort Lauderdale, and it was a shoe blowout game.
Oh yeah.
When all that happened. But it was just a blast. Like, these guys are getting into it, their dads are getting into it. I'm hugging Henry Saul, Jordan Saul's dad after UNC wins. it's really funny to let them kind of see the passion. But they, you know, at the end of the day, when we make the playoffs, like, it's just different here. Like, it's just different. Like, everyone thinks that their arena is the loudest in the playoffs. Like, I've been enough places. I've been to Toronto, I've been to Montreal, been in Detroit, been in Nashville, Tampa. I've been all these places in the playoffs, and they're just, it's not even close. Like, we're so much louder, and that's the college mentality. That's trying to, that is crowds feeling that they can have an effect on the outcome of the game. And it happens. Like, it works. Like compared to these other places, you know, it's just louder. It's just louder. People get on their feet and yell, and, you know, they're going to affect what's happening on the ice, just like they feel that they can affect what's happening in the football stadium or the arena, for basketball.
You're right about it being loud. And I always tell people, and I'll be honest, I was never a hockey fan. I went to Hurricanes games early on when they weren't very good. But my son, I mentioned off the air, he got me into it. And we went to a couple playoff games a couple years ago and sat upper deck front row in the corners, which I love. I could see better.
Thank you. I see
the puck better there than I can on TV.
Absolutely.
You don't have to turn
the whole play develop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I forget, it was maybe the Caps or whatever. They scored 17. Hurricane scored 17 seconds into it, and the place exploded. Yeah. And I was like, "Oh my God, this is amazing!" And I think I've been in here for NC State basketball games, and aside from Carolina, it's nothing like this. But that is the cool thing about that arena, is it gets really loud, and until you've experienced, like you said, you don't get it. I mean,
and honestly, those years that we were bad, that was one of the really hard things for me, is we had players that were there and had been there for 5, 6, 7 years, and they just didn't, you know, they didn't, hadn't experienced that. Like, Jeff Skinner was there all those years, he never got to experience that. Justin Falk was there about the same amount of time, he got to experience it. And, like, you can tell them, you know, all day long how amazing it is in the playoffs, the tailgating and how loud it is, and come up with warm-ups and the towels and everything else. And they're like, yeah. But then they experience it, and they're like, oh, yeah, this is different.
Yeah, and it was still loud in the COVID year. It was still pretty loud, half empty or whatever. Let me ask you a question. You talked about the guys, and you talked about the dad's trips, the mom's trips, and all that. Why are hockey players, professional hockey players, the coolest professional athletes and the most chill professional? I mean, I said it off the air, and I'll say it again. They beat the hell out of each other on the ice. I mean – yeah. Those dudes are tough, period.
Yeah.
And then they're just so – they're nice. Why is that?
I don't know exactly. I think a lot of them are, you know, from very blue-collar backgrounds and really appreciate kind of what they've been given in life. You know, they've earned it, obviously, but, like, the position that they've reached in their lives. Think about Rod Brind'Amour, who, you know, he was still playing for us. He was on one of his last contracts. His dad was still working full time as a pipe fitter out in British Columbia. You know, the Stalls kept that sod farm going. You know, those boys grew up working on the sod farm. You know, I think it's just a different, a little bit different, you know, blue collar feel. You know, and I think that they appreciate it. And I also think that, you know, they know they have to be, like, at the end of the day, you know, hockey is popular, but it's not, you know, it's not where baseball is, or not even close to where football is or basketball. So they know that, you know, it's important that they're good to people and they're good in the community and they're nice to fans, because, you know, that's what we rely on. You know, probably more than any other sport, we rely on gate receipts. just because of where our TV contract is in comparison to those other sports. So I think that they know, you know, every little interaction can make a difference in helping to grow our game.
Yeah, it is fascinating to watch how just, I mean, and I've with TikTok and Twitter and all these things, you see all the interactions with other players, like the goalie for Tampa. That's ridiculous. I mean, he stops on the side of the road and talks to somebody and all those type things.
Yeah.
You were there from basically day one. Was there ever any doubt that Raleigh would work for the Hurricanes?
I don't think there were any points where it was close to moving or anything like that. Like, I don't think we ever got to that point. Like, I think that the league has been pretty committed to trying to make this market work. And the league's seen, you know, even in some of those early days, that, you know, that 2002 run, the 2004 draft, when we filled the building to watch basically what's a glorified business meeting on the floor. And then, you know, the, you know, 2006 Stanley Cup run, the 2011 All-Star game, you know, these events were so big in Raleigh, you know, so big in the Triangle that I think that the league knows that the passion is there. And, you know, even in the very, very lean years, you know, at the end of the day, when you've missed the playoffs 10 years in a row and your owner's selling the team, sure, you have those thoughts in the back of your head. Well, what happens here if he sells the team to somebody that's not committed to keeping it here? But obviously we were lucky to get an owner that was committed to trying to make it work here. And things have been pretty good since then.
So you talked about kind of making things work. And speaking of making things work, Johnny T-Shirt makes things work for our fans. Johnny T-Shirt has been making things work on East Franklin Street in Chapel Hill for a long time. Since back when Sonny and I were actually in school in Chapel Hill, Johnny T-Shirt was there. I don't know if they go back to the Tommy era, but they...
Yes, they do. I bought my first pair of sunglasses, Ray-Ban sunglasses at Johnny T-Shirt. Still got them. In fact, my son probably wears them on campus 30 years later.
I didn't realize they figured out what the sun was when you were in school. That's impressive.
Wow. So
Johnny T-Shirt has been selling sunglasses since back when they were made out of actual glass. Johnny T-Shirt on East Franklin Street in Chapel Hill. They're big proponents and sponsors of Inside Carolina. We want you to do the same thing right now. If you hit them up, they have all of the new stuff in the store, in their catalog, online. However you want to procure it, they can get it for you. Ready for football season. All of the new Nike gear that the teams wear when they work out, when they practice, when they play, they got all that stuff. Hit them up if you need tailgating gear, home gating gear, gate gating gear, which I'm sure will be a thing if you want to like have a bunch of people over and eat and drink around a gate. They can probably take care of that too. Gate gating, check it out. It's just Johnny T-Shirt is kind of the be all and end all. So make sure you hit them up, johnnytshirt.com. Inside Carolina premium subscribers know that you get that extra 10% off the top. So use that off of their already delicious prices, and you will be glad that you did. We'll take a quick break right now, let some of the national guys run some of their ads. We'll be right back to talk more with Mike Sundheim, PR guru grand poobah of the Carolina Hurricanes.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of pet meds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
All right, coming back. We appreciate you guys being here. Another episode of the 40 Club here on InsideCarolina.com. He's just Tommy Ashley. I am just Joey Powell. We are here with Mike Sundheim, the Vice President of Communications for the Carolina Hurricanes Hockey Club. And the dude has absolutely kind of lived the dream of a lot of folks. And, you know, when Tommy and I were growing up in North Carolina, we didn't really know what hockey was. But Mike came down here and saved us all after he graduated from UNC in 2000. And he's been with the Hurricanes really, with an exception of a couple of years, ever since. One of the things I love about Mike is he's got this really cool job, but I want to kind of get into Mike's fandom a little bit. The first thing I want to ask Mike is as a guy that is a PR representative for a sports franchise, you have been so programmed and defanned as part of your, you know, as part of your job, right? Like your job is to be very professional and you're one of the best in the business at it. Kind of scrubbing the emotion and the fandom from your gig. How does that translate to now if you get a chance to go to a Tar Heel game, if you get a chance to watch a Carolina game? Obviously, you're doing well if you're hugging Henry Stahl after a win against Duke, but do you find yourself having to not see things from a sports, I guess, career lens? Because I think about when you talked about the Canes arena being empty during the lean years. I mean, do you watch a season like the Tar Heels had in football in 2018 when nobody was going to games and they won, you know, two games on the season? Do you see that and say, yes, yeah, it's tough to see? Or do you see that as a fan? You're like, oh, this sucks.
No, I let it all out. My fan side absolutely comes out when it comes to the Tar Heels, when it comes to the Baltimore Orioles, who have won two games in a row, in case you didn't know. Two games in a row.
After losing, what, like 32 19. Or something? Like wow.
Lost 19 in a row, but they won again today, so they've won two in a row. But no, when it comes to those things, I can drop the PR hat for the most part. Sometimes I feel it for people. Like I feel it for the Orioles when they're going through that. Like I haven't been through anything quite that bad. Like we have finished dead last, but that's 19 in a row is a lot. That's a lot of losses, a lot of L's in a row. So, but no, I let it out. Somewhere there's a video of me on my back porch watching Luke May hit that shot against Kentucky, and I definitely let it all out. My whole neighborhood knew that I was letting it all out.
So. Not the PR guy in that yeah, moment.
It's kind of nice, honestly, when you bottle it up so much. And, you know, if you're sitting in a press box,
yeah,
it's kind of nice to be in the stands and to be able to yell and scream and to do all the things. And, you know, the Tar Heels are definitely one of my escapes when it comes to that.
So one of the things a lot of folks may not know is that you get a chance to set up a lot of the meet and greet and crossover type things that sometimes, you know, I think on UNC social media a while back, you know, the Hurricanes had a chance to come over and shoot some rock in the Smith Center. Yeah, and there's been some crossover where sometimes you've had Carolina coaching staff or alumni like Tyler Hansbrough come out and wind the siren at the Canes games. Talk about setting those things up and how fun is that for you as a Carolina guy to be able to arrange for guys that you work with, these players for the Canes that you have these really strong relationships with, and now you're getting to introduce them to a hallowed hall such as the Smith Center and let them see things like that. Share with that what that feels like.
It's awesome. You know, it's really cool to be able to, like, you know, bring a guy out there and tailgate before a football game or sit next to a guy when they go to the Smith Center for a game for the first time. You know, that day, you know, at the end of the season where we got to, you know, shoot around at the Smith Center and Rory came out and met everybody and talked, you know, spent real time talking to Justin Williams and our guys, you know, as you know, hey, I'm kind of geeking out because I don't take shots at the Smith Center and make a fool of myself too often, but that was pretty fun. But you know, being able to experience those things and being able to, you know, like we want our guys, like I actually just sent a message to all of our players yesterday, kind of describing, you know, some of the events that are coming up in North Carolina for the month of September. Like some of these guys are only going to be here for training camp and then they'll go back to the junior teams or back to, you know, to the minors. But we want them while they're here to experience the culture of the area. So, you know, one of the things I listed on there was, hey, UNC football is ranked in the top 10 If you're interested in trying to get to a game, let me know. You know, we're taking them to the Durham Bulls game. Luke Combs is playing at PNC Arena. So, you know, there's things going on here. So, you know, we want them to experience it and realize that this is a pretty cool place to be and to play and to have those opportunities.
How diverse is their likes and dislikes? Like you mentioned, you're a Carolina guy, Pace Sagister, which he's texted me some questions to ask you. So
yeah,
beware. how diverse is like what these guys like? Like you got guys coming from all over the world. How do you figure out, do they like Carolina? Do they like it here? Do they like NC State?
How do you explain Ramses to a guy from Slovenia?
Yeah,
no, you don't. you really don't. I think the thing is that at the end of the day, that they're athletes. A lot of them just love sports. Like they're watching the NFL on Sundays. They're watching golf all the time. They're into watching sports. They, you know, some of them have their own teams when it comes to football and baseball, who they root for. A couple of them played college hockey, so they have a little bit of that, you know, those allegiances. But, you know, for a lot of them, you know, they like going to the local team. Like Jeff Skinner didn't ever want to admit he was a Tar Heel fan, but he's absolutely a Tar Heel fan. he has Tar Heel. He has a Vince Carter UNC jersey. It's always funny to me. Like they want to play it down the middle because that's the right play politically, especially when we share a building over there. But, and there are absolutely some of them are Wolfpack fans. Like it's easy for them to get out of practice and walk out there and the tailgate's going on. And that's pretty cool. You know, it's literally in our parking lot. So they can walk out there after practice and that's going on. So, I think that, it's, they appreciate that they obviously love the passion and they see how it translates to their own arena. And I think that they enjoy the rivalries and everything.
So do you want the Pace questions? Are you prepared or is anything off limits?
I will admit I'm a little bit concerned about what Pace might say here. Pace knows too much.
I'm not going
to. He's seen it.
He sent me a few.
Yeah. But
tell me about, and this is a fun part. And again, I'm not trying to get you in a situation where you don't want to ask, but what's up with the craft beers?
Oh, he knows I'm a big craft beer guy. I'm a big on Untappd, but check in my beers. I go to breweries on the road. Like those guys all give me crap because they get to a bar in whatever city we're in and I'm looking at the menu for some beer I haven't tried yet before. So
this is a macadamia nut orchid leaf.
Yeah. I'm one of those
triple hopped out of a walnut mug.
Yeah,
ale.
Yeah.
He said he used words like obsessed and takes a picture of and logs into some beer app every craft beer.
That's Untappd. It's actually based in Wilmington. But yeah, I do have that app and I use it. I used it earlier tonight even.
And he asked me another one about the tight pants and splitting the pants all the time, but I'll leave that one alone. He said, ask him. He asked me.
That did happen twice on one road trip. That's a tough bounce.
Yeah, he said, but don't embarrass him. So I won't ask that question. But he said, ask him why he always stirs his ice cream in the watery soup before he eats it. I mean, what are you guys doing on the road?
That's actually at home. So at home in the good old days before COVID, we had a soft serve ice cream machine in our press room. It's extremely popular. Like the people come in from the other teams. They cannot wait to get to that soft serve. And Pace likes to make fun of me because I like to like stir it and put my stuff in and stir it down so it's nice and yeah, I don't know.
Weird. He left you alone for the most part, but he's good people. We
also big Tar Heel fan.
Yeah, we tailgate.
And now a UNC employee.
Yeah, exactly. And we tailgate with his family. Joey, you'll meet his family, assuming everybody's able to be there.
Yes.
When we're down there in the Bowles lot. Let me ask you a couple questions before I let
I've been there.
Well, you need to
be careful with the special drink. That's all I can say.
Oh, trust me.
If there's a slushy drink, be careful. Be a little careful.
Listen, they're orangutans, and I know them well. Yeah. So you've been there when I've been there, and I might not remember.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. I might not remember either.
Let's see, now that Mike knows where we're going to be when he's bringing some of the players and introducing them to things, he needs to introduce them to a proper radio show tailgate, which we can't really give you the proper radio show, but we can give you Inside Carolina Live, right?
Absolutely. That's go ahead, it. Tom. That's the invite. No, it's a fun time down there. But let me ask you a couple questions. One, discounting the Stanley Cup championship, best on the ice moment for the Hurricanes and off the ice moment for you personally?
Ooh, that is putting me on the spot. On the ice, boy, when we clinched the playoffs a couple years ago after not making the playoffs for that long, that was just like a cathartic experience in the arena. Like everybody, I almost have chills thinking about like the fans that I know stuck with us through all of it, and you know, just the release they had. We won the game, and then we put up on the scoreboard that whatever we needed to happen had happened, and
like geo punt return catharsis.
Yeah, in a way, almost more just because it had been, you know,
such a long period of time
preceded by so much misery.
Yeah,
you know, just the just kind of letting it all out. Like we're just finally we're back in the playoffs, and we felt it, and the players felt it. You know, the fans felt it, and just it was just such an amazing night over there, and that's probably my favorite on ice. Off ice, there's a lot. You know, the All-Star game, when we had the All-Star game here, just the way the community came together to make it a huge event. We were just blessed with one of those unbelievable North Carolina late January Indian summers, and the weather was tremendous the entire weekend. So everybody came in, and you know, people really got a taste of what the passion is like here, even kind of in the middle. That was, you know, kind of on the early end, but in kind of in the middle of that tough time for us. And just some of the opportunities we've had to from Make-A-Wish kids to when Brian Bickle was diagnosed, you know, some of the things we've been able to do off the ice, and we've just had so many great people working for our organization that you know, helped us really capitalize on those moments.
Toughest question I've asked you all night. You've been there since 2000, 21-ish years. Who's been your favorite player for the Hurricanes?
Oh, yeah, that's real tough. I got to pick one person.
Well, you can pick a couple.
We'll make sure the entire team hears
honestly,
this, so they can judge you based on your answer, okay?
You know what? It's easier for me to pick the ones I don't like, and I don't want to say who they were. But honestly, in 21 years, there's only two.
Wow.
That kind of speaks to what you said earlier about hockey. You know, hockey players just the way they are off the ice. You know, in 21 years, there have only been two guys that I really just didn't like.
So why? What? And you don't have to call names, but what made them not likable? Because I can picture like somebody like I'm not even gonna call names, but what makes a player unlikable in hockey? Because like I said, any interaction I've ever had, whether it was at the Jim Valvano Classic years ago with all those guys, they've always been fantastic.
Yeah, you know, I think it's just a different kind of entitlement that most of them just don't ever display. And just the way that those guys, you know, like I said, there's only two of them, you know, just the way they treated staff and things like that. Like most of these guys are just so good and so good to everyone around them, really appreciate everything that people do, you know, from, you know, getting to know the name of the security guy to, you know, talking to the having a good relationship with the equipment guys and medical, you know, just appreciating the people that kind of make things run around them, make their lives easier. And, you know, I think that's something that is special for, you know, our sport and the guys I've been dealing with. And like I said, 21 years, you got, you know, 23 guys on a roster every year. That's, if I only have two guys that I didn't really like, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good hit rate, man. All right. Yeah. I've got two for you, then we'll let you get out of here. We're talking with Mike Sundheim, the VP of communications for the Carolina Hurricanes, professional hockey franchise. You might know him right down the road here from the Triangle. All right, so the first one I want to ask you is, what has been your most, I guess, your favorite intersection of your Tar Heel fandom or Tar Heel existence and your gig with the Hurricanes?
It's tough. I mean, the day we got to go, the day we took the guys over to shoot around, that was so much fun. You know, watching the previously aforementioned Pace Sagister take on Jordan Staal on one-on-one in the Smith Center. And all the hilarity that ensues when something like that's going down, you know, that's a lot of fun. And, you know, pretty much anytime we have somebody out as a siren sounder, you know, it's a little special for me to see. Sometimes I've been involved in helping to get that person there. Sometimes I haven't, but, you know, just, you know, and I don't know, I always go back to thinking about the 09 playoffs when UNC had just won the national championship and Tyler Hansborough was there and listening to everybody boo him. He didn't even do the siren. Like, he was just in the
stand. He was just there.
just soaking it in.
Man, I want heat like that.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like you were talking earlier about the, you know, people, you know, coming out and sounding the siren, you know, this, you know, with everything that's changed in collegiate athletics, you know, I think, you know, we can have, I think now we can have current athletes come out and do the siren, yeah, which is something we've never been able to do before. So it's kind of exciting to think about maybe having Sam Howell come out to do a siren, or, you know,
you know, you know, the level of booze,
man, speaking of noise.
Yeah.
I want to be there when that one.
Yeah.
I know. Some of these guys kind of like it.
Quease has done it a couple of times. Yeah. Marquise Williams done it.
Yeah. Soaks it. He's great.
I were on the siren one time, but I had my daughter with me. Somebody could boo me. All right. Last one for you, Mike. I appreciate your honesty there. Well, actually, we'll make this too. Now, I'm assuming you're going to go after Roy Williams now that he's retired as a potential siren sounder.
We've been trying for years. Mac's the same thing. Mac doesn't want to go. You know, it's the same thing. They know they're going to get booed. which is not really fair, but, you know,
retired Roy doesn't seem like he would care about that to me, but maybe I'm wrong.
I hope you're right. I'd love to, we'd love to have him out, but, you know, I don't know. Can we get him off the golf course to come out there? I don't know.
There you go. Set him up to play in a pro-am with some of the Canes players, let them take the tee shots because
he's run into a couple of them out there.
Sure. As much as that guy's playing right now. All right. Last question. And this is kind of just an overall a fan question for you. What's been your most, Tommy asked you earlier, what's been your favorite moment as part of the Canes, but just what's been your favorite moment human related that you've been able to do as part of your job? Because again, as you mentioned, connecting these players who are humans with very rare causes, being able to put them in touch with parts of the community that, you know, needs to have some light shined upon it. Being able to use your position to really uplift other people. What's been your favorite moment kind of along that vein?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's hard to narrow down. Like, there've been some really good ones, like, you know, from kind of visiting a young fan who's, you know, whose father had passed away recently, to the, you know, the military reunions that always, you know, get everybody, but they get me too.
Yeah.
When you have somebody, you know, coming home, to, you know, the make a wish, we had a great make a wish day. Unbelievable. Kid was just amazing. You know, with, setting up a street hockey game with some of our guys, and our guys just completely embraced it. And like, we're awesome. You know, lifting him up on, you know, it was, just so cool. So, you know, I think, you know, those are the things that sometimes when you're in the kind of in the doldrums of the season and you're maybe a little bit kind of run down by the schedule and the travel and the weekends, and you have a day like those, and those are the days that kind of pick you back up. and you know, you're trying to do something for somebody else, but really it's doing maybe even more for you. So you know, those are the kinds of things that are really special about working in sports and being a part of this organization.
Well, you've definitely picked us up, and you've definitely been a special part of this podcast tonight. We appreciate you giving us some time and sharing some insight and some experiences. I think I'll speak for Tommy and most of our audience in that we think you've got a pretty awesome gig. And, you know, I know there are going to be times where you feel the grind more than anybody, but definitely appreciate you coming on and sharing with us. And, you know, as you know, I won't speak for Tommy or listen, but as a fan, I appreciate what the Hurricanes do for the community and for individual fans and just their presence around the Triangle. I think it's been a great positive, and I hope it continues to be so for years to come. Thomas, you got anything else before we let Mike get out of here?
No, I'll second what you said. I mean, it's been fun. It's been more informational podcast for me personally, just getting a chance to talk to you. And I know I give you a hard time with pace and all that, but it's just fascinating to hear what I have come to realize watching hockey and seeing those guys is that, and I said it earlier, they're just cool. And they're the nicest people you could ever meet. And the fact that Raleigh has embraced it and the area has embraced it and going over there to see games and to hear stories from you and others that work with the Hurricanes. I mean, it's all one big happy family that's just done so much for the area, I think. So appreciate you coming on, taking time to talk to us. And but to the Carolina Hurricanes, just thank you for being sort of, you know, it's kind of corny, but it is like a shining light.
Yeah.
Those guys have always just been the best, but anyway, yeah, I ramble, but I mean, yeah, it's very cool.
And, you know, again, the standing invite has been planted for you to attend and come see us at the Bowls lot sometime this season, if you can get away before hockey gets into full swing. But
I've got my eyes on a couple Saturdays.
There we go. Well, let us know. We'll make sure to save you a seat. But for Mike Sundheim, our guest tonight, for Tommy Ashley, we appreciate all of you guys listening. Appreciate all the Inside Carolina Nation subscribing, watching, and listening to the show. We will talk to you guys sometime down the road. I'm just Joey Powell. We'll catch you next time on the 40 Club. Late.
Thank you.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.